Okay, where are we? Let's get this going. This is taking way longer than it needs to. We're trying to hook up some stuff, and then, of course, the interwebs wasn't working. Not that you need the interwebs, but, of course, I wanted some source material that's on the interwebs, and fuck with the interwebs.
The interwebs aren't going to work today. Oh, fuck.
So anyhow, I rebooted the internet, and now everything is fine. Oh, and civilization is coming to an end because Donald Trump pulled the United States out of the Paris fucking global warming wacko accords. Whatever that means. Don't worry, your welfare checks will continue to show up. You can scream or shout with all your might. Oh, you can scream, shout, whine, cry, snivel, piss, moan, look for a safe space. And I totally forgot to do vocal warm-ups. The question is, do we stop recording, and I do the vocal warm-ups, and then we pick up, or do we just fucking blaze on? Not that kind of blazing, you fucking dope-smoking morons. God, I'm so sick of the fucking dope-smoking. Also, guys, stop sending me messages on Facebook asking me if I know where you can get marijuana. Yes, it's Colorado. You can get marijuana goddamn nearly any place. There's this thing, it's called the internet. If you fucking go to google.com and you type in dispensary in the name of whatever city in Colorado you are in, you will find out where you can go buy some fucking marijuana, okay? Stop asking me where the fuck to buy marijuana in Colorado like I'm your motherfucking tour guide or some shit. Fucking Christ, you stoners are so fucking dumb. I am the great one himself. I am the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I've been on the internet since 1999. I've been podcasting for 12 years. I am right. I am always right. I have always been right. I will always be right. I have never been wrong, except that one time when I said Hillary Clinton would be the next president of the United States. And even then, I wasn't really wrong. See, there's always a way out. I'm like a feminist. It doesn't matter what happens. It's always the patriarchy. Even then, I still wasn't really wrong. I said that Donald Trump was going to lose because the parasites outnumber the producers. Well, I was right. The parasites do, in fact, outnumber the producers. Hillary Clinton got more votes. There were more parasites who wanted Hillary to be president than there were producers who wanted the Trump and Fuhrer to be president. The Trump and Fuhrer won thanks to the Electoral College, which the left-wing statist, social justice warrior Democrats have now once again discovered, and they're just outraged by it. I think a lot, and this is the thing, right, looking back on that, think about all the time Hillary spent in states like California. It's like, this is a great example, two good examples, California and Colorado. California and Colorado are always, for the foreseeable future, and this isn't what we were even going to talk about today, are for the foreseeable future. God forbid I just fucking stay on topic for once. I have notes and everything. Just, you know, no, we're not going to do the fucking notes. I'm just going to fucking ramble. California and Colorado, for my lifetime, are going to vote Democrat. And I, here in the People's Republic of Colorado, I didn't really see any effort by Donald Trump to campaign. And during the campaign, I was a little baffled by that. And then, of course, after the election, I look at the results. It's like, oh, you know what? Now I understand why he didn't waste any time here. So when you think about all the time that Hillary people spent, and I can tell you here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins, I saw the fucking Hillary Clinton supporters out all over the place with their t-shirts and their love Trump's hate and all this other gay shit. It's like, why are you people wasting your time campaigning for Hillary in Colorado? Colorado is going to vote Democrat, right? Next presidential election, Colorado is going to go for the Democrat. California is going to go for the Democrat. And so for the Democrats to spend time campaigning in California or Colorado is for them to be stupid, because they already have that. You need to go out and lie to people in the states and flyover country and get them to believe your bullshit about there's no such thing as boys and girls. That's just a construct of the patriarchy. And that women only make 70 whatever cents it is this week compared to every dollar a man makes. And that the patriarchy is oppressing women, even though women are strong and independent and single mothers can do anything and you go girl. And for a Republican, for Donald Trump, say for example, in the next presidential election, to waste any of his time, money, energy campaigning in Colorado or California would just be dumb. Anyhow, not really sure where that came from, but there it was. All right, what did I not say? I did not say that today is the 2nd of June in the year of our Lord, the Trumpenfuhrer, 2017. You're not going to hear this until this is going out on the 9th. I'm still managing to stay ahead, which is good, because that week I'm going to be pretty busy actually working for a living because I have a job and I don't have a Patreon account. We'll talk about that in a minute. That's one of the things I needed from the interwebs. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. We are here in the People's Republic of Fort Collins at the palatial recording studios of the Cynical Libertarian Society. I am drinking mint tea. No booze for this podcast, because when we're done here, I'm going to go to the gym. Got my ass back to the gym. So I can start with that story. You hadn't heard any stories about the gym lately, because I hadn't been going to the gym, because, as I think I told you guys, I got a set of free weights, a good set. I had a set of free weights, and it was just this total piece of shit set. So I got a set of free weights with a significant number of plates, 200 and something pounds worth, and all the different variations, so that I can actually do stuff. I can actually, you know, up by 5 pounds, and then up by 5 pounds, and all this other shit. So I've been doing the weightlifting at home, not at the gym. That's why you haven't heard any gym stories. The one disadvantage of this is that what I do not have is I don't have a bench or a squat rack. So I can't really do any kind of proper bench presses. And I can't do any squats that actually challenge my level, right? For me to do a squat without a squat rack, I can only squat the amount of weight that I can lift and then get over my head and then land on my shoulders and then do the squats and then get it back over my head and on the ground without killing myself. And because I'm a giant pussy when it comes to upper body strength, that's not a lot of weight. So anyhow, the other day I was catching up on reading blogs, and I went over to Adam Piggott's blog, Pushing Rubber Downhill, and he has a great post about squatting, not like squatting to pee or squatting to poop, but squatting as in lifting weights. And it was inspirational. It was motivational. I'm like, God damn it, man, you know. Fuck. That cocksucking fucking Australian bastard. He's right. I really need to be squatting. So I said, all right, I'm going to break down. I'm going to start going back to the gym where I can use a proper squat rack and do some proper bench presses as well. I hate going to the gym. It's not really the gym. It's the having to go to the gym, right? The great thing about lifting weights at home is I can listen to a podcast while I'm doing it, which, okay, you can listen to a podcast at the gym. The thing is, I don't like being in public places with earphones stuck in, and thus a lack of situational awareness. Because you see, the gym that I go to is, of course, a gun-free zone. And so when some Muslim wants to kill some people, well, they usually go to gun-free zones. So whenever I'm in a gun-free zone, I really don't want to have earplugs in my ears distracting me from what's happening around me. Plus, you also just never know when you're going to encounter another person you might want to talk to. You know, it's like when I did go to the gym, you know, there's some other people and they just chat and they make a comment and you make a comment and you start chatting and you actually interact with other real live human beings instead of just walking around in your little fucking bubble contained and protected by your earphones, your earplugs, your earbuds, whatever the fuck they're called, and your iPhone, and then sit around wondering why you can't find a boyfriend. So I went to the gym for the first time in ages, did the squats. Not going to tell you how much I squatted because, as I mentioned, I'm a pussy and I don't want you to know that. And did some bench presses, and sure as hell not going to tell you how much I bench pressed because I'm a pussy and I don't want you to know that. But we're going to work on that. I got to get that handled. Not that I'm going to turn into Jack Donovan or anything like that, but anyhow. What was the point of this story? The gym. I know you don't know because I know because this isn't on my notes. This was why what, there was a point. Hold on. I had a reason for telling the story. Oh, I know what it was. It was because the day before I went running. Then I got up. This was yesterday. I got up yesterday morning. I went running again. Then I went to the gym and I did the fucking squats and I squatted more weight than I have squatted in probably 3 months. Because it's been about 3 months since the last time I went to the gym and used the squat rack. And then I spent the entire rest of yesterday with my legs just so fucking sore that I could barely move. And then on top of that, I thought, oh, I'll go out and go walking around and take some photos. So my legs were sore as hell and I'm still out walking around and I was suffering like a motherfucker. Today, I'm much better. Feeling much better. All the more reason to go to the gym, do more squats, and make my legs sore again. Fortunately, the weekend is coming up. Today is Friday. Tomorrow is Saturday, except that, oh wait, I work in theater, and that means weekends don't mean anything to me. I'll actually be working tomorrow, and yeah, I'll be standing up the entire fucking time. It'll be fantastic. Speaking of theater, let's do this. Or do I hold off on that? No, you know what? Let me hold off on that one. Let's jump ahead to this. Speaking of women, which I wasn't speaking of women, but speaking of women who can't find a boyfriend. So I'm out and about, and I'm checking out the little hotties and stuff, and once again, I've been reminded, okay, so here, I have two friends, and every time I see them, one's a guy, one's a girl, every time I see them, they're always like, so how's your love life? You know, are you fucking anybody yet? And I appreciate their concern about whether or not I'm shooting a load into some chick. I really, really do. I'm like, guys, I'm telling you, I am, and I've told you listeners this also. I'm pretty sure I am never going to have sex again with a woman in my life. And you say, well, what about little boys? Or what about men? Or what about, no, those are automatically excluded because I don't go that way, okay? I'm never going to, so it's either having sex with a woman or having sex with myself. Those are the only two options I have. And I'm pretty sure I'm never going to have sex with another woman in my life because I just have standards. Jesus fucking Christ. And I didn't think they were that high, but I was wrong. I was so wrong. So you say, well, great one, what are these standards that you have? My standards are no armpit hair, no leg hair, no mustache. The hair on your head needs to at least touch your shoulders. No excessive tattoos, and by that I mean if you have one tattoo that's smaller than 2 inches by 2 inches, I can live with that as long as it's in a part of your body that the public doesn't generally see. Anything more than that, you're pushing it. And when I see you, you got the full sleeve tattoos and you got the tattoos on your chest and you got the tramp stamp, no, you're out. No fucking piercings other than the ears when you got the fucking metal hanging out of your nose, like the metal in the lip. The eyebrow, all of that disqualifies. Oh yeah, and no single mothers. It's So, I mean, look, I have just disqualified, for those of you who have never been to Fort Collins, Colorado, I have just disqualified 100% of the women in Fort Collins. There's just nothing here that doesn't fit into multiple categories that I've just talked about there. So I'm at this coffee shop and I'm scoping this chick at the next table and I'm like, ah, she looks kind of hot. And she's wearing the little like capri pants, which I think that's what they're called, where it goes down to your knee or whatever. I'm going, hey, and she's a blonde chick, right? So, and then she puts her leg up on the table because we're outside and the sun shines through and all the little blonde leg hairs light up like neon tubes. And it's like, holy shit. Okay, you can't see it when her leg isn't in the sun because they're blonde and transparentish. But this chick has thicker leg hair than I do. I'm like, oh God, why? Why is it so hard? If you women are so strong and independent, why can't you use a razor? There's two other chicks sitting at a table near me. One of them was kind of hot. She was not awesomely delicious, but she was doable. And I'm listening to their conversation. God, I love listening to conversations. And she's going on about how her 28-year-old boyfriend lives with his parents and he's such a loser and he needs to mature. And I'm thinking to myself, well, if your 28-year-old boyfriend is a loser because he lives with his parents and he needs to mature, maybe you should try getting a new boyfriend. Because whose fault is it that your boyfriend is a loser, an immature loser who lives with his parents? The answer is, it is your fault because you're the dumb bitch who's dating him. And I've talked about this plenty in the past. This goes the other way as well. Anytime I hear some man talking about, or boy, whichever we want to put it, talking about, yeah, my girlfriend's a slut, my girlfriend that, my girlfriend that. Well, whose fault is that? It's not like you were required by law to be this girl's boyfriend. If your girlfriend is all fucked up, that's your fault because you can de-girlfriend her anytime you want. And girls, when your boyfriend is immature and all and wah wah, that it's just like when your boyfriend hits you, the first time he hits you, it's his fault. The second time he hits you, it's your fault. When you meet a man, if he lives with his parents, that's his fault. But when your boyfriend lives with his parents, well, that's your fault. Because you boyfriended him. I was then out with a group of men, most of whom are currently undergoing or still recovering from divorce rape. And I'm listening to the trauma and the drama of going through the divorce and getting the divorce done and, oh, this divorce is about to happen to me and, oh, I'm so scared and all this other stuff. And I know most of these men, at least, first of all, just from being in Fort Collins, and second of all, from things they've said in the past, I know that most of these men voted for Hillary Clinton. Most of them are liberal Democrats. And it's fascinating because I'm listening to them talk, and they're desperately trying to be red-pilled. But only red-pilled a little bit. I think, I'm not up on my terminology, I think in the manosphere this is referred to as the purple pill, right? You're red-pill enough that the woman wants to have sex with you, but not so red-pill that you're not a beta male provider for her. And I'm thinking to myself, guys, this divorce rape that you are currently undergoing, well, this is the price you pay for being femisimps. This is the price you pay for talking about the patriarchy and, you know, ragging on Donald Trump. Whoa, hold on. Hot college chick out the window. Oh, shit. And she's gone. They're all hot from a distance, guy. That's another thing I've learned. Women are much more attractive the farther away they are. I'm walking down the street, I see a chick, she's like a block away. It's like, ooh, she looks kind of cute. Then she's a three-quarters of a block away. And no, three-quarters and four-fifths are not the same thing. Then she's three-quarters of a block away. And I'm like, holy shit, dude, she might be a fucking 9.5. And then she's half a block away. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, she's maybe only an 8. And then she's a quarter of a block away. And then it's like, oh, okay, we're talking 6.5. And then I'm going past her on the sidewalk and I look at her face and there's the mustache and she's a 1. If you voted for Hillary Clinton and a woman is divorcing you and divorce raping you in the process, I just don't have any sympathy. You did this to yourself. This is the price you pay for being a femisimp. I have heard some of these men, whom I associate with every now and then, we're not like deep, dark friends, but they're this group of guys I know, get together, have a beer, talk. And they're the wage gap. And they talk about it like it's real. And I'm just like, the fuck is wrong with you? Oh, you're being divorce raped. That's what's wrong with you. You get what's coming to you in your life, guys. You really, really do. Speaking of being raped by women, so I had to go to a meeting at one of the theaters I work with, which is run by a woman. And we are discussing an upcoming event where some people are renting the theater and doing their event there, because that's how this shit works. And it's a dance company, so they have ballerinas. And this is their big dance recital, and they have ballerinas that are 4 years old, and they have ballerinas all the way up to 20 years old. So it's the whole range in between there. And the women who are in charge at the theater, the woman who's in charge, and then the woman under her who's also theoretically in charge, even though she doesn't know anything. It's a chick I talked about in the past that they hired her and she has no theater experience. She still has no idea what she's doing. It's absolutely pathetic. Which, the glory, the one saving grace, this is a whole week worth of work. They've rented the theater for a week. It's going to be 5 solid days of ballerinas, which is not as glamorous as it sounds like it could be. The good part about this is that for the entire week, neither of these women will be there, and I, the great one himself, the founder of the Cynical Libertarian Society, I will be in charge. Thank God. Because even when I am in charge, the woman who runs the theater always shows up and tries to fucking micromanage everything, which also pisses me off. Here's the thing, guy. If you're going to put me in charge and then show up and fucking micromanage everything and countermand my orders, why the fuck are you putting... That's a woman thing, right? We all know that. And she just cannot fucking just delegate the authority and go the fuck home. She just can't do it. She has got to fucking stick her fingers into everything. and I'll be in charge of a show, and she will show up and start telling, no, do this, no, do that. I'm so, okay. And I'll say, okay, look, we're going to do this. She's like, well, no, let's do it. I want it done. It's like, why don't you go home? Or better yet, I'll go home and you can be in charge. But women don't understand. This is another reason why women shouldn't be in the workplace. Women do not understand the concept of chain of command. Whoever is in command is fucking in command. If you put somebody, when you delegate, right, when Captain Kirk beams down to the planet and he leaves Mr. Sulu in command of the Enterprise, Kirk doesn't fucking call back up there and micromanage Sulu. Okay? The Klingons fucking come into orbit around the planet. Sulu calls down. He says, Captain, the Klingons have just arrived. Kirk says, Sulu, get the ship out of here. Protect the ship. Don't worry about us. He doesn't fucking micromanage. He just says, Sulu, do your fucking job. Protect the fucking Enterprise. And then he leaves Sulu the fuck alone. And Sulu fucking does his thing. Because Sulu knows what the fuck he's doing. It's not his goddamn first rodeo. Telling you guys, everything you need to know, you can learn from watching the original Star Trek series. Everything you need to know about life. Right? They beam down to the planet. And the computer has enslaved the native inhabitants, and it has the inhabitants bringing it fuel for its generator so the computer can keep running. And Kirk says, yeah, we can't put up with this shit. We're gonna have to fucking blow that computer up. And Spock says, well, but Captain, what about the prime directive that we can't interfere with other cultures? Kirk says, yeah, but that doesn't apply because that means normally developing cultures, this culture is stagnated. This culture is enslaved to a computer. Because you see, Kirk understands that rules exist to serve people. People do not exist to serve rules. Fuck the prime directive. That's why Captain Kirk is the greatest starship captain ever. That's why Captain Picard is a giant pussy. Captain Janeway is a woman. And what's his face from Deep Space Nine? I can't even comment on because that show was so fucking terrible I couldn't bear to watch it. So let's get back to why women shouldn't be allowed to have jobs. So we're at this meeting for the upcoming dance performance where all the little ballerinas are going to be running around. So first of all, we pull out the information because we got the schedule the dance company sent us about how everything's going to go. And then I got our schedule. And then we have our packet of information about what the dance company needs as far as accommodations, technical, like what kind of lighting do you need, right? What kind of sound do you need? And what sort of, how many tables do you need, you know, backstage? What is all the stuff that we need to provide for them as part of their rental? And we're looking at it, we're going through it, and I'm seeing some discrepancies here and there between the dance company stuff and our stuff. And so I'm asking these questions. I'm like, what about the, what about that? And finally, the woman who runs the theater, the woman who called this meeting, the woman who got us all together to talk about this, says, oh, well, this is actually the schedule and the information for last year. I just copied and pasted it. And I'm thinking to myself, why are we having a meeting to discuss the information about an event with information from last year, which is not relevant to this year? Yeah, they're similar, but they're not the same. And the answer, of course, is because the women want to talk about their feelings, and women love having meetings because a meeting is a place for you to get a captive audience and talk about your feelings. The meeting was an hour, 15 minutes long. It could have been 10 minutes long because it could have essentially just been, here's the stuff from the dance company. I haven't actually done my job yet and produced current documentation on our side, so I can't show you a schedule. I can't show you a goddamn tech writer because I don't have any of that stuff because I haven't done it yet. And we're finished. But she just printed the shit off from last year, changed the year, you know, from changed the dates from the dates of last year to the dates of this year, printed the shit out, gave it to us. Like, what the fuck? You put no effort into it. Gee, you just wanted to talk about your feelings, didn't you? You just wanted to have a meeting and talk about your feelings. I read, heard somewhere some time ago about some company. I want to say it was, I don't remember. It seems like it was some newspaper or something. Anyhow, it doesn't really matter. What I remember is that this place had a rules about meetings. Number one, no meeting can last more than 15 minutes. Number two, no meeting can involve more than 5 people. Number three, all meetings have to be conducted standing up. And to this day, I still think that is the most brilliant fucking policy ever. Hour and 15 minutes, there was, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. There were 8 of us there. There were 3 of us there that needed to be there. There's 8 of us there for an hour and 15 minutes looking at inaccurate information and talking about the feelings of the women. Because you see, here's the other thing about all of this. You see, the women's, well, they care about the children's, right? That's, it's the children's. Oh, the children. For the women's at this theater, the fact that the children's in the dance companies, and this is across, you know, this is every time we, because we rent out to schools and dance, whatever, we have kids in there on a regular basis. And this whole thing where the kids are not complacent and obedient. This absolutely chaps their asses. I mean, they have the biggest fucking fits. Because there'll be some little 10-year-old ballerinas, and they will, prepare yourselves, trigger warning, the 10-year-old ballerinas will run down the hallway and holy fucking shit, the women's who work at the theater will just piss themselves. Stop running! You can't run! It's against the rules! Da, da, da. And we have to have meetings, and there's fucking emails being sent to all the fucking people involved in, or you think I'm making this up, right? The fucking emails are being some of your ballet dancers were running in the hallway. They're 10-year-old kids. Can they have some fucking fun? What is it with you goddamn fucking cunts? And we know what it is. I've talked about this. We know what it is. You fucking cunts, you are so anxious to fucking stifle your children. And not just your children, all children. You are so fucking anxious to make sure those children do not have any fucking fun. God forbid some 10-year-old girls could run down the hallway and laugh and enjoy themselves. No, let's fucking convince them that all men are going to rape them and that they're gender fluid and get them in some fucking cubicles doing worthless fucking HR work as soon as possible. Like, every fucking woman at that theater, her fucking life purpose is to destroy the fucking childhood of every fucking kid that comes into that place. Look, it's one thing if the kid's doing something that's going to injure them. I get that. And it's another thing if the kid is doing something, they're going to break something. It's a fucking hallway. There's a floor, there's a wall on each side, there's a ceiling. There's not even any furniture in the fucking hallway because the goddamn fire marshal comes on and goes, oh, you can't have anything in the hallway because it's a fire hazard. Once again, if you're too dumb to get out of a building that's on fire, That's natural fucking selection. I would put hazards in the hallway. I would put like a logic test on the fucking fire doors so that to open the fire door and escape from a burning building, you had to do some kind of fucking logic quiz. It's a fucking hallway. The ground is flat. It's got carpet on it. The girls are 10 years old. They're only this fucking tall. Even if they fall down, they can't fall that far. There's no way they can fucking hurt themselves. But oh, fucking Christ, the fucking dried up fucking feminist Hillary Clinton voting Donald Trump hating goddamn left-wing statist cuntbags at this thing. They just fucking lose their shit. My God, there's ballerinas backstage standing in the wings. The audience can see them. Oh my God, and they just have it. The audience doesn't give a shit. The audience isn't looking at the ballerinas in the wings. They're looking at the people on stage. And it's a dance recital. And everybody knows this is not a professional theatrical production. And the kids just want to have a fucking good time. They want to watch the other kids dance. They just want to fucking enjoy their fucking lives. But no, you goddamn fucking feminist fucking cunts, you just can't stand it. When you see a child having fun, it just fucking drives you insane. Get that child on drugs. Tell that child there's no such thing as gender. Tell that little girl the patriarchy is going to rape her every day for the rest of her life. Get her to go to college and get a fucking diploma in gender studies and international communications and go into debt for $100,000. No, don't let those children fucking enjoy their childhood. We care about the children's. No, you don't. No, you don't. You want these little kids to obey and to conform, because the last thing you want them to do is think for themselves. The last thing you want them to do is reach the age of 20 and look around them and say, why the fuck are we paying so many taxes to give so much fucking retirement money to all these fucking old people and so much welfare money to all these fucking parasites? Why don't we elect some politicians who are going to trim back the welfare and the retirement? That, you don't want that to happen. I think the other big part of this is the old women. I've talked about this before too. Women are terrified of competition, right? You got this fucking 45-year-old ugly bitch who's divorced. This is one of the chicks I work with. You know, and she's ugly and she's divorced and her life is essentially ruined. And she's never going to get a man again. And she sees all these little ballerinas who are younger and prettier than her, and her natural fucking hatred of other women just automatically kicks in. And I mean, when you're scared of a 10-year-old girl competing against you in the sexual marketplace, you know you're fucking worthless. I think that's a big part of it. It's that these old fucking hags, they're just it's just natural, just like women naturally lie whenever they talk. Women just naturally, they see another woman who's younger than they are and isn't fat and ugly and spit out kids and all this other shit and ruin their life, they automatically go into competition mode. So fucking Christ, whores, could you please? And we all know the answer. The answer is no. The answer is no. These women cannot just shut the fuck up and allow these children to enjoy their fucking childhood. And it just, I don't know, maybe it shouldn't, but it just irritates the fuck out of me. Because I don't have a problem. And this is, I'm still so happy I'm going to be in charge. Because there's still going to be some chicks around, and they're all going to be freaking out. Oh my God, you know, oh my God, and they'll put tape. They'll put tape on the fucking ground. Be like, okay, all the dancers need to stay behind this line. Like, God damn it, guys. You're expecting 100 fucking 9, 10, 11-year-old ballerinas just fucking just stand there behind a line like a bunch of little goddamn fucking robots. At the same time telling me how much you care about the children's. Can you please shut up and let them have some fucking fun? See, I let the little ballerinas have fun. I talk to them. They talk to me. They ask questions. I show them stuff. They want to run across the stage. Yay, wee! and run. Oh my God, the other women in the theater just freak out. They're running on the stage. Oh, fuck. They are children. I know I'm just repeating myself at this point, but I cannot emphasize how this... And we know why. I know why. The fucking old dried up cunts cannot let these children have fun. Because number one, they want the children to obey and pay the fucking taxes. They want the children to comply so the old dried up cunts don't have to do anything. Like, you know, work. It's the same reason the teachers and the parents want to drug their children. Because we don't want to have to actually spend any part of our life raising our children. The children are competition, right? It's just you spit the fucking kid out, the kid goes to college, gets a job, and then pays for you in your old age. You just want to skip to the part where the kid supports you in your old age. It's not like most of you people out there give a fuck about children, especially not those of you who claim to give about the children's. It just does. It just pisses me the fuck off that all these goddamn fucking old people will not let the kids. And then we want, like, you look at the millennials. You wonder, I don't wonder. There's a reason the millennials are so fucked up. This was their childhood. A bunch of goddamn fucking worthless, dried up cunts telling them not to have fun. Telling them, don't run. Don't get dirty. Don't think for yourself. Sit down and shut your mouth. Here's some fucking ADD medication. Anyhow, I'm intending to let the little ballerinas have a fucking good time because I'm not a fucking dried up cunt douchebag. And that is that.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? You don't make waves, so why should they? Studies show that 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. ODD is a real problem in our society, according to the DSM, the big book that lets psychiatrists know who's mentally ill and who's not. ODD is also known as libertitis, or inflammation of the liberty. It's been a serious problem for almost 50 years. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. In severe cases, kids may be suspended from school and end up in jail for violating those all-important nanny laws. In extreme cases, they might even quote Ron Paul. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Compliacin reduces non-essential brain activity by 70%. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. This drug can even keep your kids off drugs. Unlike outdated methods such as punishment or uniforms, Compliacin works on the inside, taking choice completely out of the equation. Compliacin combines Thorazine, Ritalin, and 15 secret herbs and spices. It has all the effectiveness of a chemical straitjacket with none of the drooling. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name. Compliacin. From Pilfer.
Pilfer. We've got a pill for everything.
Speaking of putting your kids on medication, let's get back to, finally, because the podcast is almost over, let's get back to ADHD Nation, Children, Doctors, Big Pharma, and the Making of an American Epidemic by Alan Schwartz. I love how this is going to be part four in the series about this book, and we're only going to actually talk about the book for about 8 minutes. But it's okay, because see the rest? That's what I'm... This is why. The fucking dried up cunt broads at this theater would love it if they could dope every child as they walk through the door. It's like, oh, the ballerinas are showing up today, right? And the little ballerina walks through the door and the fucking dried up cunt like shoves a pill down their throat and the ballerina just turns into a little fucking zombie. Like, I will stand behind the line. I am 10 years old, but I will not have any fun. I'm not sure what my gender is. I don't know which bathroom to use. Can you please pass a law to help me understand which bathroom to go to? Oh, my childhood is so wonderful. That's what they would love. They would fucking love that. God, I fucking... Deep breath. Just when I think about how much I want to take everybody who voted for Hillary Clinton and just slit their fucking throats. Deep breath. Deep breath. We're on page 126 of ADHD Nation by Alan Schwartz, and oh, it just fits in so brilliantly with the topic. While advertisers treat young men as hedonists howling for sleek cars and beer, mothers have traditionally presented a far different audience. Their priorities tend to take a back seat, literally in sensible suburban minivans, buckled and safe. No, a woman's priorities never take a back seat. When you people come along and say, well, but see, women prioritize their children over themselves. No, they don't. Women want to keep children alive so their children will provide for them in their old age. But once again, guys, I just repeat myself for 12 fucking years. If women prioritize the safety and health of their children so fucking much, explain to me why there are so many women dating, married to, living with, fucking men who mentally, physically, psychologically, verbally abuse those women's children. The answer is because the cock, the alpha sperm being shot into her cunt, is more important to her than her children. So stop this shit about how women view their children as the most important thing. No, they don't. No, they don't. The most important thing to a woman is her. It is not the fucking children's. Mothers want their children's food to be nutritious. No, they don't. They want it to be cheap. That's why women take their children to McDonald's. Their toys to be wholesome. Sure. Their well-being secured by mom's knowing oversight. No, they don't. They want their children's well-being to be secured by the government. That's why their kid is in the daycare. That's why their kid is in the school. That's why they get the welfare and the WIC and the food stamps. To be sure, women in ads at the turn of the millennium had certainly evolved from the 1950s happily vacuuming homemakers. You know, back when women were oppressed by the patriarchy and stayed home and raised their children and actually spent time with their kids and didn't dope them up for having personalities. They were bankers, lawyers, systems analysts. But that was actually the point. Women were becoming work and kids multitaskers in droves. No, you're not multitasking. If you're working and taking care of your kid at the same time, that might be multitasking, even though humans can't multitask. But when you're at work and your kid is at the daycare, you're not multi anything. You're ignoring the kid because your job is more important to you. That's not multitasking. That's sloughing your child off on somebody else because you're not capable of providing for your own child. But you still expect that child to provide for you when you're old and drooling on yourself and shitting in your diapers. Darting between responsibilities whose constant challenges needed quicker and easier solutions. Yes, because we don't want you women to have to put too much effort into raising your children. Oh, fuck no. That would be patriarchal and oppressive. As this shift occurred, little challenged mothers more than their kids' inability to calm down and stay on task, which a steady stream of newspaper, magazine, and television features portrayed as pure ADHD that must be medicated, lest chaos rule. Surprised they didn't call it anarchy. Oh no, I think the author of this book is good. Recall Time's 1998 Ritalin cover with the headline, quote, "Scientists said last week that it works," unquote. But even such media reports were less effective than direct advertising would be. For a long time, the best a drug company could do was market the condition and hope that sales of its antidote would follow. While developing Concerta, ALZA ran 60-second cable television ads on the A&E and the Discovery Channel that described the seriousness of ADHD itself. The spots couldn't mention Concerta by name, per the UN ban, but they did tell parents to, quote, "talk to your doctor," unquote, about treatment options for their children, and to phone a company's toll-free number for more information. "Make the call that might make the difference," the voiceover said. The subtlety was rendered downright quaint after MetaMan flew into town and unleashed huge marketing opportunities. Recognizing Concerta's blockbuster potential, Johnson & Johnson, the pharmaceutical behemoth, acquired ALZA in May 2001 for $10.5 billion. Its subsequent magazine ads almost flaunted drug companies' newfound freedom. One had a mother gazing proudly at her smiling son and saying, quote, "better test scores at school, more chores done at home, and independence I try to encourage, a smile I can always count on," unquote. Yes, because that's what's important. Good grades at school, because good grades mean compliance. Good grades mean memorizing and regurgitating. And doing more chores at home. Every one of those promises was misleading or simply baseless. Tempering hyperactivity and impulsivity did lead to better self-esteem, some, often pharma-subsidized studies suggested, but others found that the meds could diminish a kid's exuberance and sense of play. Wow, really? You mean putting kids on dope to temper their hyperactivity and impulsivity might diminish their exuberance and their sense of play? No fucking way. I'm shocked. I can't believe this. Undercutting the smile promise. Research had shown that less distractible children did answer more math questions correctly per minute, but that was about all. Whether that extended to overall grades in math or anywhere else was unknown. Absolutely no studies had indicated any increase in, quote, "independence," or for that matter, dishwashers emptied. But it sure sounded delightful to parents. In another print ad, Concerta transformed a baseball-playing boy who, quote, "can't find glove again," picks dandelions in outfield, and annoys teammates, unquote, to one who, quote, "listens to the coach," again, it's the focus on obedience, "focuses during batting practice," again, maybe the kid doesn't fucking like baseball. Have you ever thought about that? I didn't focus during batting practice because I fucking hated baseball. I tried to, my stepfather tried to get me into, because my stepfather loved fucking baseball. He tried to get me into fucking Little League. And like, I have no fucking interest in this. This is not even a real sport. Okay? Badminton would be more fucking fun. Or volleyball with a bunch of volleyball girls. But baseball? Oh, fucking bore me to tears. And gets, quote, ice cream parties with the team. The drugs weren't methylphenidate, one of these scientific words that I can't say, but pixie dust. Playing catch-up, though, Adderall XR in 2002, Shire targeted fathers. An impish boy, cap turned backwards and baseball mitt in hand, declared, quote, already done with my homework, Dad. The capital letters in large type, cleverly spelling out ADHD. See, already done, AD, with my homework, Dad. ADHD. Why, if your kid doesn't have ADHD and you're not medicating him, he's not going to play baseball with you and you don't love him. Oh, God, the fucking stupidity of the American. No one has ever gone broke underestimating the stupidity of the fucking American public. No study had shown that kids finished homework faster on Adderall XR, but so what? Your boy would be free to play catch thanks to these pills. Shire played off Concerta's newness by claiming that Adderall XR, quote, shares a 60-year legacy of safety and clinical experience, unquote. A stunning assertion, given that Adderall XR was only 1 year old. But hey, you know, it doesn't matter if you're lying, as long as it makes the kids stupid so the parents don't have to do any fucking work. That's the important part. The line was based off the product's distant and quite different ancestor, Benzedrine. Quote, talk to your doctor today to see if Adderall XR can add new meaning to your child's life, unquote. You know what might add some meaning to a child's life? Here's a few things that could possibly add meaning to a child's life. Just off the top of my head. Number one, having two fucking parents. Number two, having two parents, one of whom is a man, one of whom is a woman, neither of which is confused about what gender they are. Number three, not going to public school. Number four, being allowed to spend time with their parents. Number five, being allowed to run down the fucking hallway. Number six, not having to look forward to a future of paying a shit ton of fucking taxes to keep a bunch of fucking old people and welfare parasites alive. Number seven, not being indoctrinated in college with bullshit like global warming and patriarchy and how all men are rapists. Those are just off the top of my head a few fucking things that might add new meaning to a child's life. But no, you know how we're going to add meaning to children's lives? We're going to fucking dope them up. Yeah, that's fucking brilliant. Oh, fuck. Yeah, brilliant. The ads got even worse. Moving back to mothers, a 2004 Shire ad pictured one hugging her smiling blonde boy who held a sheet of paper on which was written B+. Quote, finally, schoolwork that matches his intelligence, she exclaimed. In September 2005, Shire paid People magazine hundreds of thousands of dollars to wrap that ad around the cover of the magazine so it was the first thing subscribers would see. And of course, and that's, again, great marketing, because think about the average IQ of people who read People magazine. right? Remember, what have I said? Stupid people have money so smart people can take it away from them. It's a bunch of fucking poor, white trash, stupid people read People magazine. So they see this, they take their kid to the doctor, the doctor says, well, yeah, of course your kid has ADHD. I mean, your child is a child. All children have ADHD. And then they say, well, we can't afford it. And then the doctor says, oh, well, there's a federal subsidy program that will help you afford ADHD. And so then the taxpayers pay for the medication that goes to the pay for the medication that comes from the pharmaceutical company. Pharmaceutical company makes money off the taxpayers. The kid gets doped up. The mother can go back home, read People magazine, and then go out to a bar that night and hook up with some man she's never met before and get another venereal disease. Lordy, lordy. Isn't it fucking wonderful? Ah, it's just great. Boy, I sure am excited. You know what I'm really excited about? You know what I'm really on board with? Is saving Western civilization. Because there's so much here in the United States that we just need to save and preserve. Just as school began, mothers were thereby on notice that Adderall XR unlocked children's potential. The messaging was brilliant. What mother thinks her darling brilliant child's report card, quote, matches his intelligence, unquote? He's as smart as you think, and this pill will bring it out for everyone to see, the ad essentially said. Adderall and Concerta became the ADHD industry's Coke and Pepsi, frantically fighting for every scrap of market share. Predictability, the arena did include some Mountain Dew upstarts who tried to nudge themselves into the mix. One of them, a form of Ritalin called Methylin, actually refined the soft drink analogy. It launched a grape-flavored liquid version engineered to attract fussy kids who didn't like pills. One ad read, quote, "It's the taste that got his attention," unquote. And the boy speaking to his mom says, quote, "Give me the grape," unquote. Well, kiddos, it's not the grape that you're getting when you're put on your fucking ADHD medication. It's the dildo. It's the big, giant, fucking, black, fucking, non-lubricated, studded dildo of your parents and your teachers' fucking laziness that they can't be bothered to deal with the fact that you're a kid. It's a big, it's not the grape, it's not making your grades better, it's not helping you concentrate, it's a giant fucking dildo of laziness being shoved up your ass by the women's who care about the children's.